What is going on, guys? D and Ed back at you. Today we have an episode. Ed gets to talk about the game. I know he wasn't here the other day, so he gets to say his thoughts about the Spurs Wizards game. We answer a few more mailbag questions, and at the end, we give you a preview of the Timberwolves versus the Wizards.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is going on, guys? It is D and Ed back at you guys with another Locked On Wizards episode. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. I want to thank you guys all for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Ed, when the Wizards lost to the Spurs, you know, the curse continued. They still haven't won in San Antonio since 1999. I was 2 years old then. I mean, it was tough. Well, everybody got my takeaways. What were yours? Right.
We got dominated in that fourth quarter. I mean, Thaddeus Young played bully ball. He scored every time he touched the basketball. Dejounte Murray got to the basket every time he felt like it. Keldon Johnson got to the basket every time he felt like it. We let Bryn Forbes get wide open threes. We let Derek White get wide open threes. We had a good first half. We were up by 10 points at one point. I thought we actually came out and had a strong, solid start. Gafford was doing his thing, had a couple dunks, blocks, had another double-double. Shout out to Daniel Gafford. He's playing a lot better. But that second half was terrible. I thought we just got outplayed. There are times where, you know, I listened to your recap last night where you saw Kyle Kuzma trying to push the pace and nobody else is running with him. He's just looking around like, hey, what are y'all doing? Why are you guys just trotting up the court? When we can push the pace and kind of put the nail in the coffin and put the Spurs to bed, but we didn't do that. We kept them in the game. The pick and roll defense was awful. It was bad. Dejounte Murray was able to get to the basket every time he felt like it. Keldon Johnson, every time, Bryn Forbes, Derek White. I thought, honestly, this might have been Trez's worst game. I thought him guarding Thaddeus Young got the better of him. And mm-hmm. and Trez tweeted out after the game that he has to play better. And that's a fact. You kind of got to see some of the deficiencies that people say about Trez. And I love Trez. Trez has been incredible this whole year. But, you know, when people talk about his time with the Clippers and the Lakers, his pick and roll defense, you know, why he was unplayable. This game, it kind of showed some of the deficiencies of Montrezl Harrell. This was probably the only bad game that I – or not bad game, but not good game that I've seen so far from Trez. Once again, we were abysmal from the three-point line. We shot 29%. That's just the formula of losing for the Wizards is bad three-point shooting, playing at slow, methodical pace, and giving up a lot of points in the paint and just getting outplayed. We tried to go zone at one point because – they were getting to the paint so easily, and the next thing you know, they still got to the paint, still got wide open layups, and still got wide open shots. It was like nothing defensively really was working for the Washington Wizards. I just didn't understand it. You hit the nail on the head with Spencer Dinwiddie and Bradley Beal. I don't know what's going on when they play together, but some games it's just not working. I don't know if Spencer's deferring to Brad and trying to get more comfortable. I know it's only been 21 games. Yeah, it's only been 21 games, so we have a long way to go. Can Spencer get the chemistry with Brad where Spencer's more aggressive and feels comfortable being aggressive? Because when Brad doesn't play, Spencer's going out there scoring 28 to 30 points a game. We're winning ball games when Brad's not playing and Spencer's playing his best basketball. And then Bradley Beal had his best game of the season against the Mavericks when Spencer Dinwiddie was not playing. So something is going on. Numbers show it too. So we got these two guys. We just, you know, Spencer's the big free agent money signing. So we got to find a way to make this work. If we want to make a playoff run, if we want to win, if we want to have two home games at home or make a playoff run, we got to make this work. Caldwell Pope, I thought he shot the ball pretty well. I liked what I saw from Corey Kispert to talk about individual performances. Like you said about Davis Bertans, he was 0 for 4, 0 for 3 from the three-point line. You see what Kemba Walker with the Knicks, you saw what they did, that he's out of the rotation now. Blake Griffin is out of the rotation. Now, I know their contracts are – actually, you know, Kemba's contract is like 2 years, $17 million. It's not Davis is $16 million a year, so that's, you know, it is a, that is a pretty significant difference. So I understand money talks, and Wes and Tommy, they're probably not going to sit Davis. That's probably why. But you look at Kimba, you look at Blake Griffin, and hey, something's just going to have to happen there. But I know we got to pump up Davis's trade value. I like what I saw from Kispert in limited minutes. He cut to the basket again, had an easy layup, and he hit a three-pointer. So the minutes, in my opinion, from Davi seriously need to be in consideration to go to Corey Kispert. You look at the team stats, they out-rebounded us, 51 to 40. Points in the paint, they had 72 points in the paint. That's unacceptable. 72 points in the paint, we had 56. Like I said, three-point shooting was terrible. We shot 29% from the three. They shot 44% from the three. We shot poorly from the free throw line, 61%. So that was the tail of the tape right there. But that was a game where we just dropped the ball right there. This is a game where we, you know, everybody was riding high because we beat the Mavericks. Like, hey, we're finally going to break the streak because we had a good win against the Mavs and we beat the Thunder, had a two-game win streak. But Greg Popovich, he's still a good coach, and we can't sleep on that team. They got some young guns on that team that can play. And they just outran us. We're 27th in pace. The Spurs are second in pace, and they were pushing the ball continuously every single time. And like you said before in previous episodes, I am beginning to believe that, hey, we might have to switch things up and try to push the pace a little bit. We might have to try something offensively because when we're losing these games, it's the same story. It's the same song. We're missing a bunch of threes. Guys are getting to the paint on us. It's the same song in every loss. I feel like I'm watching the same game from the Nets loss to the Hawks loss. Every loss looks identical every game. So that's my take on the Spurs game. But we got to have a short memory. We have a tough Timberwolves team coming in. They won a couple of games that people – they beat the Heat. They beat the Sixers. Timberwolves are no joke. They will come into D.C. and they will beat us if we don't come out there and play our best basketball.
Yeah, and – as you were talking, I seen this stat from ESPN Stats and Info. They say that's 22 consecutive losses for the Wizards at San Antonio. That is the longest active road losing streak versus a single opponent in the NBA. So that's just the story on the Wizards' struggles in San Antonio. But to talk about Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie and their fit, they got to figure it out. And Bradley Beal said last night that, you know, they're still trying to learn Wes's offense. You know, everybody's still trying to figure things out. So we talking about Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie not really fitting together right now. Guys don't even fully understand Wes's offense yet. So I'm not shocked at all that those two playing together right now is a struggle. You know, and similar to last season, there were times where Russ and Brad were kind of, you know, it was a little rough. And towards the later ends of the season, it started to get better and pick it up. And they started to look, you know, gel well together. And hopefully that's the case for Spencer. I mean, it's just we've seen it with how the offense looked against the Mavericks. How, you know, the pace, it felt like they were pushing the pace. They were moving. They were running. It seemed like a faster game. Brad had one of his best games, if not the – well, it was as far as play style, et cetera. It was the best game of the season. That was without Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie has great games against the Magic. And he's had good games as well without Bradley Beal. And together, it just hasn't happened to come together yet. And hopefully, it comes together, you know, as we continue to play more games and they continue to learn Wes's offense. That's all we can hope for. Because Spencer's not going to come off the bench, you know, to be that score role. Wes already staggers his minutes, him and Bill's minutes, pretty heavily right now. Like, Spencer in the game against the Spurs left with no shot attempts around, like, maybe the 6-7 minute mark or something like that. And Spencer Dinwiddie was out of the game. So, Wes already staggers the minutes right now. We just got to hope they figure it out. And as far as Davis, because that's the only other person I want to talk about, I'm so tired of hearing the contract is the reason he's playing. I already said, you know, they're just hoping at this point that he returns to form. And we've been waiting for like the last two seasons. So good luck on that point. But before we get into some questions from our previous mailbag, we do have a message from our friends over at Indeed. While there's always going to be a debate between LeBron and Jordan, when it comes to helping you hire all-star talent faster, the GOAT is Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all, attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process, so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Indeed makes it easier for star applicants to shine with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. Pick what skills are important to you from over 135 assessments and get a clear view of your top talent's abilities faster. Assessments make the interview process smoother for everyone. Talent doesn't need to prove themselves again, and you can dive deeper into talking about what's important to you. With Indeed assessments, you can reduce hiring time by 12%, according to Indeed data worldwide. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. The offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. And we do have another message that it will give to us from our friends over at Built Bar.
Yep, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar, with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calories, low carbs, low fat, and high protein. Covered in 100% of real chocolate. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month. Limited flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Just make sure to make Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. I just want to thank you guys for subscribing to Locked On Wizards on YouTube and on iTunes. We're on all platforms.
Yes, we are, guys. And we got a couple. We may hit about two, maybe three of some mailbag questions that we didn't get to before we head into our Wizards Timberwolves preview. So, Ed, let's get right into it.
Yeah, and then last with the Bill and Dinwiddie fit, question that we have, amongst ourselves, I do think they can fit. It's still the season's still young, like you said. We only finished 21 okay. games, so they can still get it together. Like you said, they're still learning the West Unseld's offense. But here's some numbers. Bradley Bill, their offensive ratings together, Bradley Bill and Spencer Dinwiddie is a 99.8. When Bradley Bill plays with Howell Neto on the court, shooting guard and point guard, their offensive rating is 105.5. When Bradley Bill plays with Aaron Holiday, their offensive rating together is 113.5. So those are just some numbers to show some context. Hopefully those numbers can go up. But like I said, we have a long season to go. But to get to these questions that were left over, this is from Repo Del Oso, Loco on Twitter. It's RIPODELOCO. He said, where exactly do you draw the line between a deep, healthy team and the opposite? And which side of the line do you think the Wiz stand once everyone is back?
Where do I draw the line? I mean, as far as a deep, healthy team, as long as once Rui, TB comes back, I mean, we used to say Davies, but he's back, and we've seen how that turns out. I like the deep, healthy team the Wizards can have, once TB and Rui are back. Now, you may look at it later on and say these moves, certain moves can be made, but I like it. I've liked it. I think there's work to be done. I definitely think there's work to be done. And once everybody's back, man, I think the Wizards can continue to be in there in that fourth seed, et cetera. I think they can continue to be in that fight. I mean, we see the potential. The potential's there. They struggle and have stagnant offense at times. We've seen on this road trip that their defense can falter at times and presence can falter at times. There's mistakes and there's issues, but there's also potential. You know, we've seen them have clutch moments. We've seen them have, you know, good games where they lock in, defend, and they find different ways to win. And so, I mean, once the team is back healthy, I think they stand amongst that, you know, second tier, possibly second tier of the East, you know, for sure. And I mean, as far as the deep, healthy team and drawing the line, like I said, I like a healthy team. I like a deep team for sure. Obviously healthy, but I like having that deep team.
Yeah. So I think, yeah. So Rippo Deloso. So I guess you're asking if, or he's asking if, you'd rather have a deep, healthy team or a team with two stars, I'm thinking. Or like a star-driven team. Yeah. You know, we've usually had
that's
that.
What I assumed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we've had, you know, Bradley Beal and John Wall, Bradley Beal and Russ for the past 2 years or past really 5, 6, 7 years. It just depends on who the other star is, because I know a lot of people are saying, you know, since we do have all these pieces – and we're so deep and we have a lot of jams at the four position, we should try to trade for a Jason Tatum if he's available, or a Karl-Anthony Towns, or other stars. And, you know, that makes sense too. I do like the depth of the team. But, of course, if you want to win a championship, it is star-driven. Mm-hmm. But I do think you could have a deep team and make a run. You know, you kind of look at some teams like the Hawks. You know, Trae Young is the star, and then everybody else is not really an all-star. Then you kind of look at the Raptors with Kawhi, and, you know, Kyle Lowry's an all-star. So I guess they kind of did have two stars, but, you know, when you look at Kyle Lowry, he's not a superstar. But I like this team. I think this deep team, when we do get Rui back, when we do get Thomas Bryant back, I think it's going to make this team better. We're going to be better shooters, and it's going to push the pace. It's going to help us offensively, because right now we struggle offensively a lot in these losses. But I like the way this team is deep. But yeah, if we do want to make a legitimate championship push, then if a star does become available, then hey, we might have to package up, you know, three guys and a pick or two to bring in a superstar or a bona fide all-star to play with Bradley Beal, to push this team to make us, you know, to be able to compete with the Kevin Durants of the world and Kyrie and James Harden, if Kyrie plays, and Giannis and guys like that. So, but that's a good question. I do like this deep team. I do like this deep Wizards team. We just got to see how it goes until the trade deadline in January or February. But I love this. I love how deep this team is. Guys are injured, and we have guys that are able to step up. We have a deep bench, and we have guys that are still out, like I said, Thomas Bryant and Rui, that are not even back yet. So I like this team, but yeah, the next question is from, let me see here. It's from guy underscore BM370. He says, regarding a discussion I had with a friend, which player do you think impacts the Wizards defense more at the moment, Denny or KCP?
I mean, I would say Denny. Currently, Denny, you look at his numbers, really good defensively. You look at his defensive rating, really good. I mean, and we've seen it on the court. I mean, KCP has had nice moments. We've seen KCP. He has quick hands. You know, he's been able to smack the ball out of guys' hands, you know, when he's right on the edge of the baseline and out of bounds and they're driving and he's able to smack it out of their hands. KCP has had those quick hands. You know, Denny, though, he's been able, and I feel like it was a couple bad fouls that got called on him early in that Spurs game. But, I mean, him just being able to use his length, you know, to affect guys, really good players. You know, we've seen it with Giannis, Brandon Ingram, etc. He's been able to affect a lot of different guys. And his defense this year has been incredible. And I got to recognize that. And it's been very impactful. So 100%, I got to say Denny. I mean, KCP has done well, obviously, as well. But, man, Denny is having one of those all-NBA defensive seasons so far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, Danny has been incredible guarding Brandon Ingram, guarding Giannis. I feel like he's had, you know, KCP, he's definitely had some tough matchups, but for Denny to step up and, you know, throw up the X and have the clamps on guys like Giannis, who's an MVP, Brandon Ingram, who's a bona fide scorer, Denny has won a couple games for us defensively. KCP has been a huge part and won us some games with the steals, like you said, some of these coming out of nowhere, just running out of nowhere and getting some steals here and there. But, yeah, they've both been huge. To improving the Wizards defense from last year to this year has been just a huge improvement. And those two guys are definitely have been a huge key to that. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm gonna go with Denny for right now. He's guarding bigger guys, he's playing without fouling, he's walling up, and the numbers show it too. You know, the defensive rating, the field goal percentage allowed, he's like top five in all those categories. So he's balling, he's doing his thing. But thank you guys for the questions. And we'll probably do a mailbag next Tuesday, or if not next week, then the week after.
Yeah, definitely. And before we get to our Wizards Timberwolves preview, we do have a message from our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile site to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, guys, I'm going to thank you all for making Locked On Wizards your first listen each and every day. But it's time to get into this Wizards Timberwolves preview. What would you say your top keys are?
I would just say protecting the paint and getting back on defense. I don't think we did a really good job of getting back on defense against the San Antonio Spurs, defending the pick and roll. D'Angelo Russell, man, he can shoot it. He's going to pull up and shoot threes. They shoot a lot of threes. Anthony Edwards, he can get to the basket. He can fly. Karl Anthony Towns, he's going to be tough too. So Daniel Gafford, I can't wait to see that matchup. I thought Gafford outplayed and did a really good job on Porzingis. Porzingis and Karl Towns are different, but they both like to shoot threes, and they're both, you know, 6'11", 7 feet tall. So they're both versatile bigs that can step out and shoot threes. So that's what Daniel Gafford is going to have to do, be ready for against Karl Anthony Towns. Same thing with Trez. So they're going to be bumping and battling. But yeah, we're going to need Bradley Beal to step up and knock down some shots. And we're going to need Spencer Dinwiddie to step up. He's going to have a tough matchup against D'Angelo Russell. So we got to manufacture some open shots. We're going to have to hit our threes. We cannot shoot 29% from the three-point line. We're just going to have to knock down some open shots. Ball movement, once again, the formula for our success when we do win is when we move the ball, we have at least five or six guys in double figures. We have at least, I want to say, 30 assists, and we hold teams under 100. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are legit defensively. They're basically similar to us. Their opponent three-point percentage, they're second. We're seventh in opponent three-point percentage allowed. Defensive efficiency, they're ranked third. We're ranked 14th, so we've actually dropped off defensively a little bit. Our defensive rating, we're ranked 12th. Minnesota is ranked 7th. They're ranked 3rd in fast break points, so we're going to have to get back on defense. They're going to try to push the pace. Team three-point percentage, we're ranked 27th. They're ranked 21st. And they shoot a lot of threes. They're ranked 1st in three-pointers attempted. So we got to be able to defend the three-point line. We're ranked 26th in three-pointers attempted per game. So defending the three-point line, rebounding, and ball movement is going to be key for the Washington Wizards and protecting the paint.
My number one thing, man, protecting that paint. Protecting that paint for sure, especially after that Spurs game. When a team shoots over 50%, that's just embarrassing. And you see what Karl Anthony Towns did. He put up 32 points against the Pacers. Miles Turner didn't play in that game, so they were lacking that paint presence. And he dropped 32 on their head. And he can definitely do that to the Washington Wizards. He shot 13 for 22 from the field in that game. And then you got Anthony Edwards, who can attack the rack, you know, put you on the poster. And, I mean, it's I like Reed, too. He's tough down low. They got to be strong in that paint, you know, especially when Gafford leaves. When Daniel Gafford leaves the game, the paint cannot become just a rite of passage for the opposition. You know, that just can't happen. When Daniel Gafford leaves the game, it can't just be open, you know, Ole defense down there. It can't just be easy. They got to toughen up. You know, just like in football, they say at the goal line, you know, they drive all the way downfield, but you toughen up in the red zone. You toughen up. You don't let them get in.
Right.
The Wizards got to toughen up down there, man. They got to toughen up down there. They got to. Because the Spurs game is not the first time where they've missed Daniel Gafford. And that Heat game, for example, when Daniel Gafford didn't play, Heat were getting whatever they wanted in the paint. So we've seen it too many times. They got to toughen up or Cat, Anthony Edwards, et cetera, will kill them. D'Angelo Russell, you know, that'll be a tough matchup too, like you said, for Dinwiddie. So I am looking for Dinwiddie to step up there. But the one thing I will say, and we didn't bring this up, the turnovers. The Wizards were in single digits for turnovers. They only had six, but sadly, they, you know, it came in the L. But I would say, you know, definitely interior defense. Win the rebound battle. They lost against the Spurs. Win the rebound battle against the Timberwolves. And defend the three-point line. Like you said, that's that about the amount of three-pointers the Timberwolves shoot. Cannot let them get hot. You cannot let them get hot, especially when they got guys like Malik Beasley off the bench.
Right.
You know, you can't let a guy like him get hot. You got to strap up at the three-point line. So interior defense, win the rebound battle, defend the three-point line. That's what I would say is my main keys right there. So, bold prediction, eh?
I'm going to say Trez plays better because he only has 6 points, and that's not like him at all. He's better than that. I'm going to say he gets a double-double. That's not really bold, but I'm going to just say Trez gets a double-double. He plays better.
I say the Wizards will hold the Timberwolves to less than 38% from the field shooting. They will shoot less than 38% from the field. I would say that. I think the Wizards toughen up down low. And that's tough. When you got a big, like, Cat down there, that'll be tough. But I would say that's my bold prediction. And that's all we got for you guys today. Once again, I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen each and every day. Now for your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Once again, guys, I want to thank you all for all the support, all the YouTube comments, all, you know, the five-star reviews on the Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate the support. We all going through this season together, guys. Let's continue to have some fun. Let's get a dub against the Timberwolves, man.
Yes, sir. We got to bounce back. Thank you guys for listening. Hail to the Wizards. Peace.
Peace.